Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It is 8:13 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. 58 degrees in downtown Galesburg, heading up to a high near 81 today. Gosh, temperature's going to go up quickly here, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us on Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Galesburg's evening news, weeknights from 5 to 6 is my thing. Please feel free to tune in if you don't already. Monday night at 5, we'll talk to some folks about the start of the 4-H year. So that's going to be a good conversation to have Monday night at 5. Please and thank you in advance for that. And if you didn't hear me mention last hour, the Out of the Darkness Walk for Suicide Prevention and Awareness is coming up later this morning with registration at 10 o'clock and some speakers right before 11. I'm going to be one of those. I have a story that I've not really shared in great detail up until this morning that I've been asked to share, and I'm happy to do that. Perhaps a little, I don't talk in front of people too much. There's all these walls in here when I'm talking to all of you every day, so a little nervous about that, but it's a very important cause, and again, there are also that and many other things going on in the community this weekend, and you can find out all of them on the community events page at WGIL.com. Another big event going on this weekend is all the kids are moving back into Knox College, so We took Dr. Teresa Amott aside from helping a kid shove couches into their dorm rooms for a few minutes, and she's joining us in the studio this hour. I can't imagine you really helping the students move in, are you?
I'm lending moral support.
Hey, that is the best job to have. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. This is always a highlight of the beginning of the year to be able to share with the community what's happening at Knox.
So yeah, I'm very glad to have you for sure.
Grateful you're here.
It's your ninth year as the president?
Yeah, it's gone very quickly.
Has it? How has the college, from your perspective, changed in those 9 years?
Oh, I think it's changed in so many ways. Certainly every college has changed over the last 9 years. We have a greater percentage of first-generation students. We have more international students. We have new courses of study that we've introduced that didn't even exist 10 years ago. Yeah. So it's been an exciting time in higher ed. It's been a challenging time in higher ed.
Yeah, especially in the state of Illinois, because even though you're a private institution, the state budget crisis, mm-hmm. which I guess in some ways is still kind of a crisis, since again, now we're talking about the state potentially cutting the budget once again here, maybe next year. Just when you think you've got things figured out in that regard, you don't, really.
I think the most important thing that's affected Knox is the decline in the number of school-age students in Illinois, which, of course, affects everybody from K through 12 up, the publics, the privates, all of us. This year, for example, we have the lowest percentage of entering students from Illinois than we've had in anyone's memory. And that's simply because of demographics. There just are fewer kids. And in Galesburg, of course, we've had to respond to that at the K through 12 level. If you just go down the road to Macomb, Carl Sandburg, all of these schools are feeling that pinch. So that means that there's more competition for students outside of the state, and we are all, you know, the publics and the privates alone facing that.
How frustrating is that, though? I mean, obviously, you know, you want a diverse student population from perhaps all ends of the globe, mm-hmm. but there's a certain appeal to kind of staying close to home for college, too, isn't there?
There is, and most students do want to stay within a three-hour drive of home. Mm-hmm. So because of student preferences, that demographic change really does make a difference. I will say that Knox is what we call a national liberal arts college, which means that most of our population does come from outside the immediate region. And in that regard, you know, we are still doing very well at recruiting students from other states.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty strong area that you've kind of, for lack of a better term, propped up over the years, haven't you?
Well, we've expanded. We've always had students from Colorado, from mm-hmm. California, from Washington State, et cetera. We've continued to do more recruiting from those areas, particularly in athletics, where mm-hmm. we've ranged further in order to find good students. This coming year, we have about 326 entering students, some of those first years, some of them transfers. They come from 33 states, but they come from 24 countries.
Wow.
And I think that has been a hallmark of Knox forever, that we've always wanted to bring the globe to Galesburg, and we wanted our students to have both a small town experience and a global experience on a very small campus.
How do you get a student from one, say, a student from Iowa, or two, a student from, say, Great Britain to come here, right, to Galesburg, to Knox? How does I have a hard time kind of wrapping my mind around how you go to convince a student to come all the way here?
Well, Great Britain might even be easier. Here's an interesting question. How would you get a student to come from Nepal?
Very carefully.
Well, actually, one of the reasons is because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
There are alumni bodies all over the world, and so word of mouth matters. Word of mouth, just like here in Illinois, if a parent says to their next-door neighbor, my kid went to Knox and had a terrific experience, word of mouth matters. Mm-hmm. But we do send recruiters. We have an international student recruiter who visits schools, gets on the plane and goes all the way around the world and visits schools. The other way that students from far away find us now, of course, is it's the internet age.
Yeah.
So there are students who will apply who've never set foot on campus, and we even will have students who come and are moving in right now who have never set foot on campus until the moment that they move in. And if think a second about what how much courage that must take, what a leap of faith it is to come all the way from, I met a family today from Brazil, another from Pakistan. They are excited to have their student here, but they did not come and visit until the moment that they dropped their child, their precious child, off at Knox.
Does their impression positively, I would imagine, does it change from what they see online or in the recruiting information versus that moment when they do step? What's kind of their reaction when they first get out of the car, if you will, and look around and go, wow, this is Knox College?
Well, what's very interesting is that we have been preparing for their arrival. We plan new student orientation, mm-hmm, a year in advance. In other words, as soon as orientation ends now, we're going to do a full evaluation. What worked, what didn't, what could we do better? So if you plan for a whole year for the welcome and the orientation of new students, we have a parent orientation, a full parent program, for example. That means that this is their first real interaction with the Knox community, with the feel, the culture, the way people interact with one another. So what they tell me, and at the moment where they separate and say goodbye to their kids, they then come to Ingersoll House up there on Prairie Street, mm-hmm, on the lawn, and we have a reception for the parents. And what they all say is, people were so friendly. I can't
believe this.
An example of that is one parent said to me, forgive the way I'm dressed. He was casually dressed. He had shorts and sneakers. He said, I was dressed to have to lug all of my kids' stuff up flights of stairs and get sweaty and everything else. And instead, we pulled into the designated place for drop-off, and an army of kids in Knox T-shirts descended on the car, said, what's your room number? What residence hall? We said, I won't say the number because I don't want to expose the kid to what his parents said to me. But, some number and some residence hall. And this army picked everything up. In 30 seconds, our car was emptied, and this army of kids were marching down the sidewalk with all of our stuff.
That's great.
And he said, I was so surprised. Then I went to a parent event, and I didn't have time to change. So I hope you'll excuse my casual outfit.
But that's all right. The kids are going to be that casual on campus most of the time anyway, so no big deal.
But that's what they remark on. They remark on the way in which the orientation has been crafted to bring them into the community, and it's an all-hands-on-deck effort for the college.
I think that speaks to how much of a community you create on campus, too, right? Between the students, let alone students and faculty.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why residential colleges are such wonderful learning spaces, because you're interacting with faculty, you're interacting with staff. We run a full service, we're a restaurant, we're a hotel, yeah, we're a prompt care, we're on everything for these students. We provide for them all of those comforts of home, in a learning environment, in addition to giving you rigorous academics. So it's a wraparound environment. Yeah, it really is.
Conversely, as successful as it has been for Knox to get folks from other states and other countries to come to campus, that concern obviously is there that the percentage of students from Illinois and obviously from this area because mm-hmm. of that has got to be a concern. How do you turn that around, do you think? Do you do the same things you did locally that you did internationally, or is there a different method?
Well, we are we definitely work very hard to serve the community. We want to be part of. We've been part of Galesburg from the beginning.
Yeah.
We were, you know, founded together. We were twins separated at birth in
a
sense.
Yeah.
So this year we have for the first time accepted students in our early college program. We have 13 high-achieving high school students that are taking courses at Knox, and these are courses they can't get at their high school. It might be astronomy, biochemistry, Chinese. And 13 of them took us up on this opportunity to have free tuition and take for credit a college course.
That's
they're
great.
From Galesburg, Rova, Knoxville, Abingdon-Avon, and also homeschooled
Wonderful.
Students. So we're offering this service to the community, and we're very excited that 13 students took us up on it, and maybe some of them will stay at Knox.
That sounds like that's different than the sort of dual credit thing we talk about
yes.
with Carl Sandburg College.
There. That's right. That's right. But we also continue with the Gale Scholar Program, which has been a program we've had for decades. And this year we have five new Gale Scholars joining us. Two of them are coming direct from Galesburg High School. And three are transferring in from Carl Sandburg. So that makes a total right now of 10 Gale Scholars on our campus. So that's it's a good group. They continue to work together, and the ones on campus will help to mentor the students that are currently out there at GHS and are heading our way or just heading somewhere to college, which is the goal.
Historically speaking, the Gale Scholars Program has been so important, I guess, one, from an education standpoint, mm-hmm. and two, from a community relations standpoint, right? Especially not just for District 205, but for Knox and Sandburg as well.
That's right. And it brings us together. It brings the president of Sandburg and the superintendent and me together regularly to talk not just about the Gale Scholars Program, but about how we could improve our partnership. It's a great partnership, and I really enjoy it. There are so many interesting connections to Galesburg. I mean, one that I was going to mention is something called the Business Intensive Seminar. This is a program that we've developed sort of outside the class schedule. We have a business major, a new business major that has attracted a lot of students. But for those students who are not majoring in business, we also have an opportunity to get a kind of a boot camp experience in business. And what's interesting about this is it ran from May 29th to June 1st, 30 students,
mm-hmm.
but it's facilitated by someone who is a great Galesburg success story, Jim Foley. He's Knox class of 78, and many people know the Foley family, of course, longtime family here in Galesburg. So Jim comes back to his alma mater, and from Bradley. He's the director of the Turner Center for Entrepreneurship at Bradley University, a really wonderful center that promotes and mentors and trains people in entrepreneurship. But he comes back on campus, and he does this boot camp for our students. And I think for him, it's an opportunity to come back to Galesburg as well.
That's wonderful.
To serve the community.
You don't necessarily think of a major like business in a mm-hmm. liberal arts college, but that's kind of, in a broad sense, kind of shifted over the years, that you need to have knowledge in a lot of different areas in order to have a successful liberal arts education, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that what has really changed now is the recognition that with the world changing so rapidly, with the labor market changing so rapidly, with business products, technology, globalization, specialized narrow training is not the best way to be prepared for that changing 21st century business environment. So, for example, at this business-intensive seminar, yes, they did have business fundamentals, accounting, et cetera, but we also talked about ethical business decisions, entrepreneurship, innovation, marketing, emotional intelligence, communication skills, ways of working in diverse teams, collaboration, nimble decision-making, all of these that are really skills that you can learn in a liberal arts education. Our business major is built on the full liberal arts. There are certainly what you would think of as business courses, accounting, etc. But there are also courses that are taught in philosophy or courses that are taught in mathematics, etc.
I used to say that in my broadcasting major at the college I went to, I was almost appalled at first to have to take a law class.
Mm-hmm.
but you need to know that those are the sorts of things that if you really want to know what you're majoring in, you've got to take those things.
That's exactly right. I think the regulatory environment and the ethical environment, I think we all see the consequences of ethical lapses. And corporations today are taking a broader view of their role in society. So taking those kinds of liberal arts courses is a great thing.
And again, for those of you listening, as an alleged member of the fake news media, yes, I did have to take a law class in college. So just trust me, I like to think that maybe 85% of the time I know exactly what I'm doing. maybe less, I don't know. All right, we need to take a break here. We're talking with Teresa Amott, president of Knox College. When we come back, we'll talk about enrollment, homecoming, all kinds of good things and challenges perhaps on campus, improvements, and much more when we come back after Cameron gives us WGIL news headlines in 2 minutes. You're listening to Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. So glad you're with us this morning.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
A36 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for joining us again on Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. This conversation and with Knox College President Teresa Amott and our conversation earlier with Jody Scott and Tara Case from the Regional Office of Education will be on our website, WGIL.com, after 9 o'clock this morning. Just scroll down right on the homepage to where it says on-air conversations, and we'll have those conversations there so you can listen to them at your leisure if you missed anything. But again, Teresa Amott joins us this hour. Thanks again for coming in this morning.
Delighted to be here.
Wanted to talk to you about enrollment. It's sort of a good news, bad news situation for you. Enrollments, although I've heard stories in the news this week where enrollment at the U of I, the pub, and ISU seem to be doing a little better. The public mm-hmm. schools, is that is that translating into any success for institutions like yours?
Well, I think there are tiers in higher ed. There are mm-hmm. what we call the flagship publics, the U of I being a flagship public. There are the regional campuses, northern, eastern, western. And in most states, you are seeing in the Midwest and in the Northeast, the flagships recruiting intensely from other states. So the U of I recruiting students from Maine, from California, whatever, and that's boosting them. Their graduate enrollments, of course, rising to the extent that they have diverse graduate programs.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, in the private small colleges in the Midwest and the Northeast, we are all seeing our target audiences shrinking because of the demographics. That doesn't mean we can't be successful at a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Because, of course, what we've always advertised and marketed and believed in is the power of a small institution.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, we are seeing a slide. I would call it a gradual slide in the number of students. And we are, like everyone else, working to make sure that we're able to provide the best quality education to the students that we have. The fact that we're able to bring in students from other states, as I think I mentioned, and from overseas, mitigates that.
I imagine some of that is difficult, not only for the state schools, but also for private institutions, because to some people, Illinois has just become a dirty word, hasn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Well, I would certainly hope not.
I mean, I don't want it to be, but I know people that when you say Illinois, they just think, oh, that state's corrupt, or oh, or just talk about how Chicago is bringing down the rest of the state or whatever. And I imagine that you've got to kind of work to keep that sort of positive attitude about, A, your institution, and B, about coming to a place like this as much as anything, right?
We have not found that Illinois is a dirty word.
Okay, good.
I would say to you that the people that I talk to who think that Illinois is the dirty word tend to live in Illinois.
Well, that's so true, too.
I think this is one of those cases where we are, everyone has a love-hate relationship with their own state government, no matter what state you're in.
That's true.
So all of that said, I would say that we are – Illinois is a very, it's a diverse state. Mm-hmm. There's big cities, there's rural areas, there's small cities like we have here in Galesburg. And we have found that our students and our families are delighted when they come to Galesburg to discover, for example, the wealth of retail establishments, places to eat, gift shops. I can tell you parents are always looking at gift shops because they're trying to figure out how they can get gifts to their kids to spur them on their way. They, I think, have found the natural beauty of the campus to be surprising. We have some extraordinarily beautiful trees, as does Galesburg, the wealth of different residential neighborhoods in Galesburg. So we market Galesburg. We partner with the Convention Visitors Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce, to let people know what the opportunities are here. And then, of course, our students go into the community to do community service.
Mm-hmm.
And that is always a positive experience for them. I've never had a student do community service and say, I don't like Galesburg. After they do community service, they want to serve the community. They want to help the community.
That leads to my next question, and I think you answered it in part, is to, if I were on a campus like Knox College, and, you know, I went to a college in Chicago, and I was stuck in the middle of downtown Chicago all day long, so I didn't really have a campus per se, but if I were on a campus like Knox, it would be hard for me to want to leave and go see the city, if you will, if a lot of what I needed was right there for me. How do you encourage students then to get out and become more familiar with Galesburg as a whole? And community service, it sounds like, is a main key of that.
It's a huge factor, and we are nationally recognized for our commitment to public service. There's a magazine called the Washington Monthly that has a list of colleges, and we're in the top 10 in the country for our commitment to service, to
That's
public
great.
Service. And our students do come downtown to do that kind of work. They go outside into other areas. Mostly they're busy. You know, this is a very rigorous academic program. So when you come out of class, you have hours of work to do, writing papers or preparing for exams or doing joint projects, collaborative projects with other students. So part of that is that with the busyness of the average college student, our athletes have hours of practice. At the end of that, they just want to go to sleep. So I would say it is a challenge, and we find community service to be the most effective way to get students in. During orientation, some of you may have noticed that our orientation leaders take their groups to restaurants in Galesburg.
Yeah.
Right after they get here in that first weekend, so that we break that barrier between town and gown, and they know that it's just across the street. Am I welcome to new students? I said, this is your home for the next 4 years. Embrace it. Cross the street and get to know Galesburg.
It also helps, I'm sure, that the mayor, who, again, by way of disclosure, also owns this radio station, was a Knox College graduate.
Yes, he attended Knox College, we are delighted to have him and everyone else, whether they attended Knox College or not. There's a sense in which the college and the community are so close together that every business owner in this community in some level is a booster of Knox. So we're grateful to that.
You mentioned capital projects a little earlier. Maybe I'll turn to that now. I know a couple of times when I've walked by campus, I've seen signage up about road work and some other things. You're always the infrastructure never stops, does it?
No, it never does. There's always maintenance to do, just like a homeowner. If you have to do things to keep up. Right now, the big project on our campus, we have a central heating plant, and then we have steam lines, pipes that deliver that steam to residence halls, far away and to classroom buildings. We are replacing the kind of out-of-date steam lines and what's called the condensate return lines. That involves digging up the entire campus, giant trenches, orange fencing, and then trying to grow grass. Fortunately, if it had been the earlier part of the year when we had the drought situation, we would have been in a more you know, would not have been as green as it is now. But it's a big project, and we'll do it in two phases, half phase this year, half phase next summer. And when we're done, we'll have saved about, this is going to sound shocking, it is, 30,000 gallons of water a day.
My goodness.
That we were leaking of the steam lines because of their age, just because they couldn't, they were not meant to, they're meant to be a closed system, but they can't be when you're got something that's many, many decades old.
So should I warn the mayor the next time I see him that Knox's water bill is going to go down?
Don't tell him. I'm afraid he'll hike the race.
There you go.
No,
well,
no, that's good. But we're happy.
He wouldn't do that to you. No. He would do that to everybody. No, I'm kidding.
No, no, and we're happy to participate in conservation of water, which, of course, is an important climate issue for all of us.
Yeah, and to the larger point, energy efficiency is something that I know that you've worked to address and improve on campus for a long time now.
Well, anything that we can do to lower the cost of education for families is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, this is the right thing to do in so many ways. So that's
absolutely
going on. The other big piece is we have a science center that many of our senior alums refer to as the new science center, but actually it opened more than 45 years ago, and we are completely overhauling that, but that's a very big project, and we're doing it in phases. Mm-hmm. Phase one, we're hoping will be largely complete by December 1st, and that is to create new and modern classroom spaces. We used to teach science in a big auditorium, and you would sit in the way back and fall asleep. We don't do that anymore. There's no opportunity to fall asleep in a science class now because it's collaborative. There are questions that the instructor is passing back and forth between students. Students are working in small groups to try to answer them, et cetera. So you need a different kind of classroom.
How did you know sleeping in the back of college was exactly what I did for 4 years? No, that's not true. But
I had you pegged, Jim. I knew instantly. No.
Good call.
No.
That's been the way education has kind of changed over the years.
That's right.
That it's in all aspects of it, it's been more of a sort of a collaborative sort of a thing.
Absolutely. And you see it in the K-12 classrooms as well, the way things have changed.
Absolutely.
So, we're starting with this first, the ACOR, it's called, and we have a fascinating opportunity that was brought to us by a faculty member in biology, and that has meant that over the last year, groups of students working with the biology faculty member, an art faculty member, and soon to be a theater faculty member have been collaborating on assembling a 55-foot, yes, I said 55 feet, fin whale skeleton.
Wow.
That was the whale was hit in a ship strike. The skeleton was damaged, found washed up in various parts, so they're missing parts, etc. And they are fabricating the missing pieces.
Wow.
Treating all of the pieces so that they will look uniform and as though the skeleton had just recently emerged.
I was going to say it's got to kind of look historically accurate is not the term, but accurate.
It has to be. It has to be biologically accurate. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that will hang in the atrium and then be lit by our theater expert, faculty member in theater tech.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be a remarkable thing, and it will remind us all, I think, of the importance of the oceans. At this time in which we are clearly facing climate crisis, and the role of warming oceans is part of that.
Okay.
So we're very excited about that, and then we'll move to phase two. Now, all of this has been made possible by donors. This last year, we raised $16 million for the college, strongest results in 5 years.
Let's hold that thought. I want to pick up on that and pick up on a few other things when we come back. We've got to take one final break with Knox College President Teresa Amott here on Galesburg Live. We'll talk fundraising and hopefully we'll talk homecoming as well when we come back as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. It's 8:48. Good morning. 8:52, 8 before 9 o'clock at WGIL. This is Galesburg Live. Good morning again. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. Here with you, taking my turn hosting the program this week. Always very glad to, but I do invite you to listen to Galesburg's Evening News weeknights at 5 as well for more conversations just like this one. Joined this morning in this hour by Knox College President Teresa Amott. Teresa, you talked a little bit about fundraising as we went to break there. I get the impression that alumni, a lot of alumni have always been pretty generous to the college, haven't they?
Yes, we are very fortunate to have so many donors that are alums. We also have non-alum donors. This last year, we had over 6,000 donors. But I wanted to mention in the fundraising that we have received a lot of support from the community over the years as well. Local foundations, over the years, the Galesburg Community Foundation, the Vitale Family Foundation, and then individual donors in the community, some of whom are alums and some of whom are not alums. And if you were to be on campus and to look at some of our donor walls, you would see names that you know from this community. The most recent local fundraising contribution that I wanted to be sure I mentioned was that as part of this Science Center renovation, we are expanding our observatory, which has always been a pretty small operation, but one that allows us to bring in K through 12 students to look at the stars and to get excited about space.
That I know was pretty helpful a couple of years ago when we had the solar eclipse.
Yes, yeah. And this time now, though, we're going to have a much larger observatory, a bigger telescope, a bigger viewing area, it's going to be large enough that we can have community viewing nights, and this opportunity to not just for kids and get them excited about science, but just for, you know, amateur astronomers in town or people who just want to know where the Little Dipper is.
That's great.
We're going to be engaged with the community in this observatory, and so we did receive some wonderful gifts for that.
That's wonderful.
Stay tuned for that. I hope that we'll have an opportunity perhaps to come on your show and talk about
that. I would love that.
And we would bring our astronomer, Natalie Harvard, to come and talk about the work she wants to do.
She's great.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
So mention that. I want to be sure you got that in today.
And while I'm thinking of that, that's just one of a number of examples in a broad sense that the campus is not insular. It's mm-hmm. It's by and large open to the public on many occasions.
Absolutely. We certainly welcome the community to all of our athletic events. And I have noticed more community members, particularly around soccer, because so many people are soccer moms and dads, they are bringing their little kids to watch the big kids play soccer.
Love that.
Would mention that homecoming is going to be a little bit later this year.
Yeah, let's talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, typically you would expect Knox homecoming to be in October, but the first weekend in November is our homecoming weekend. We're going to have, of course, tons of alums on campus, a very big party for our alums to celebrate their college, their alma mater. We'll be playing Cornell College in Iowa, one of our Midwest Conference partners, mm-hmm. Sister institutions, we look forward to that homecoming game and be delighted to have any members of the community come and watch.
The homecoming, between that and the students taking part in the community, that's you're a really big part of the economy and the tourism mm-hmm. of this town.
Yes, we are, and we like to be sure that every member of the Galesburg community knows that our public events are indeed that. They are mm-hmm. they're welcome on campus. Please come look at our website. Their events are mentioned there. And sometimes we'll have coverage from GIL the Register Mail about an upcoming event. Some of you may read about the event afterwards, but we'd love to have you know about the events in time to come and join us.
Absolutely, and for sure. We're happy to help whenever we're able to, for sure. I have a couple of minutes mm-hmm. left. One other thing I think we maybe have time to mention here before we wrap up in terms of fundraising and things you've been able to help pay for on mm-hmm. campus is an electronic music studio. This is so cool.
Yeah, this is an example of the kind of thing that is possible because of a donor. And this is going to create opportunity for students to score films or produce podcasts or record their own albums or just compose an orchestral piece from scratch with a keyboard and with equipment, which I don't even know what it is, but we have analog synthesizers. I'm sure there are people listening who know what that means, various kinds of controllers, and they can manipulate sound and produce all of the sounds we know, but digitally to do that. So that's exciting.
That's fantastic.
So, these kinds of things, these opportunities that come from donors, the opportunities to do community service, all of these things have, they contribute to the quality of the education. And so, I acknowledged the enrollment issues, that it's a challenging time for higher ed, but we making progress.
We had a story on the news this week about how both Knox and Monmouth colleges have gone up in the U.S. News and World Report rankings, and that's important to help get people on campus too.
Absolutely. You know, I think there no ranking can capture all the dimensions of an institution. You have to come on campus to really feel that. But we did rise among the national liberal arts colleges to 66 in the U.S. News. But I would say a ranking there that the ones that matter the most for us are actually different rankings that are not perhaps as well known. One of them is that we are 60th in the nation for undergraduate teaching. We're recognized for the quality of our undergraduate teaching. 53rd for best value, meaning the best education for the money. 45th for social mobility, meaning we're contributing to making sure that first-generation students have an opportunity to achieve financial sustainability and success. And we're also among the most diverse ethnically and internationally of the nation.
Wonderful.
So these are all markers. Not so much rankings, they're markers that we're being successful at meeting our mission, which is undergraduate teaching and social mobility.
At the end of the day, the rankings really don't matter as long as the students come away with what they're supposed to come away with and are pleased with their experience anyway.
Right. And that's our mission.
All right. I think on that note, we'll probably wrap up here.
Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. Teresa Amott, president of Knox College. Opening convocation is Tuesday, right?
That's right.
Very good. Teresa Amott, president of Knox College, thanks again. I can't help but mention to somebody every time I just happen to know because of, you know, what I'm interested in that one of the more, to me, famous alumna of Knox College was Gene Rayburn, the host of Match Game in the 70s. Can't help but mention that I know that. So there you go. Thanks so much again, and thanks for all you do for the community.
Well, thank you.
Have a great weekend. I will see you in about an hour or so at the Out of the Darkness Community Walk here in Galesburg, and I'll see you Monday night at 5 for Galesburg's Evening News. We'll talk 4-H and much more. I'm Will Stevenson. Have a terrific weekend. Be kind to one another. Today's homeowner is next, and then Fighting Illini football in 1 hour on WGIL. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. News starts now.
News, weather, sports, and the story.